Genesis 45, we're all there. Are we there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, it's going to be a long night. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have a Bible, say, oh me. It's the opposite of amen. Oh me. Like, oh me. Okay. Genesis 45, let's read before I mess something else up. We're going to read in just a minute the text verse, but before we do, I want to tell you what these chapters are about. This is about the story of Joseph. We've talked a little bit about Joseph in the past. Joseph's character in the Old Testament, one of the first ones talked about in the Bible. And Joseph has an amazing, amazing story. This chapter 45, is kind of getting to the end of his story. But I will tell you, how many of you like watching action movies, that kind of stuff, drama movies, all that kind of stuff? There's some good ones out there. There's some stupid ones out there as well. But this story of Joseph, okay, somebody say, well, the Bible's so boring. I hate reading the Bible, so boring. The story of Joseph, man, it's exciting. It is crazy. It's like something right out of a movie you'd watch, but it's actually a true story that actually happened, and it's in the Bible. It's like something you see, you know, on Broadway or on the big screen, whatever. It's an awesome story, Joseph. And this chapter's coming like right to the clincher, right to that big point in the story. And we're going to read about it in just a minute. But before I get to the intense part, I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory very quickly. So try to keep up with me. Joseph was one of, I believe it was 12 brothers. His father's name was Jacob, or they called him Israel. And he was not the favorite of some, but they all thought he was a favorite, and he kind of was a little bit favored in the story. But he wasn't really, really doing anything different than his brothers. But for some reason, his father really, 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 you know, loved Joseph. He loved his other sons too, but these other brothers would get really jealous. Well, after a while, Joseph had these dreams. And his dreams, they were kind of weird, but pretty much what his dreams were saying was that one day all of his brothers were going to bow to him, like he was going to be their leader. His brothers didn't really take too kindly to that. They didn't think that was very cool. Could you imagine if your brother or sister came to you and said, one day I'm going to be in charge of you, I'm going to be your boss? You'd probably just slap him in the face if it was your little sibling. But these brothers got kind of ticked off at him, got a little jealous. And they started plotting to kill him. Well, thankfully, the oldest brother said, you know what, killing, probably not the best idea. You know, let's do something else. Let's take him, and we'll throw him in this big pit and leave him to die. So it really wasn't that much better. But this is all true, by the way. This is an actual story. So they're like, they take him. Could you just imagine, like, Joseph standing there, I don't know if he, you know, taking care of the sheep or whatever back then in the Old Testament, and his brothers are coming towards him, and he's like, hey, guys, how's it going? And then suddenly they grab him and they carry him, and they throw him in a pit, and then he's just like, hey, guy, what's going on? Is this a game? Not very fun. I don't like it. And so they throw him in a pit. Well, then they're like, okay, he's in the pit. What do we do now? You know. Well, then they see these people traveling to Egypt, slave traders. And they say, you know, we could do this. How about we sell him into slavery? We sell him as a slave to these people. Not very nice. So that's what they did. They sold Joseph as a slave. Joseph came, and he went. Now then he worked for this guy named Potiphar in this big mansion, this big palace. And then as he's actually doing really well there. He's a slave, but he's, you know, Potiphar really likes him and he's doing well. Well, Potiphar's wife liked Joseph too, but not in the right way. She really, really liked him. I remember everyone's ever seen the old show, Hey Arnold? Hey Arnold, old school, football head. Come on, old school. Yeah, I think it was on Hey Arnold. It was a stupid episode. I remember when I was a kid. They'd be like, no, I don't like you. I like you like you. Remember, ever heard of that stupid stuff? Yeah, you heard the stupid stuff. Well, this is what happened. Potiphar's wife didn't just like Joseph. She liked him. And she was married, so that's not good. Well, Joseph, listen, was a good man. He loved God. He obeyed God. He honored God. Even in all this stuff, getting thrown into a pit, getting sold into slavery, he kept a good spirit. It's pretty hard to do that, but he did. And worked his hardest at Potiphar's house. Well, Potiphar's wife, one day, comes on to Joseph. And says, hey, let's, you know, and he goes, no, I'm not doing this. He said, I'm not doing it. Well, she grabs his jacket to say, no, are you going to do something? And he takes off and leaves his coat there. He just kind of struggles away, and his coat gets left behind because he's holding onto his coat. Well, then Potiphar's wife gets a little ticked off that Joseph, you know, didn't want to sleep with her. So what she does is she goes to her husband and says, Joseph, you know, tried to rape me, and he tried to do this. And she lied about Joseph. Lied about it. This is all true, right in the Bible. So if you think the Bible's boring, start reading it and you'll realize it's not. And she goes, oh, he tried to do this to me. Well, Potiphar, you know, kind of up against the wall, says, okay, well, this is my wife. He probably knew she was lying because he probably knew that she was that kind of a woman. But Joseph goes to prison. Has to go to prison. So Joseph went from the pit to being a slave, and then to the prison, and then, am I missing anything? Pit to the to being a slave, kind of like a prisoner, and then to the palace, and now back into prison. Back in prison. Not good. Did he do anything wrong? Did he do anything wrong?
No.
No, he didn't. He's in prison. Well, he's in prison, and the captain of the guard is actually Potiphar. So Potiphar was his boss in the house. Well, now he's kind of in charge of him as a prisoner. So Potiphar, the nice guy he is, has Joseph, although he's a prisoner, kind of be in charge of all the other prisoners. So he kind of still be nice to him, probably because he knew that Joseph didn't really do anything wrong, but he kind of had to do it. So Joseph's the captain of prison. Well, he's in prison, and the butler and the baker that worked for the Pharaoh, the big king of all of Egypt, the butler and baker that worked for the king are in prison too. I don't know why they're in prison. Well, they have some dreams, some weird dreams. And they come to Joseph and say, hey, we heard that you can talk, you know, you have a dream. So Joseph says, here, let me help you out and tell you what your dreams mean. So Joseph tells the butler and baker, he says, listen, baker, here's what your dream means. You're going to get out of prison and then you're going to die. The Pharaoh's going to hang you. Sorry, hate to be the bearer of bad news. And he tells the butler, he said, listen, you're going to get out of prison, but you're going to be restored to your job. So he had good news for one, bad news for the other. Well, the dreams were, his interpretation of the dreams was right. Butler and baker got out of jail. Baker, like the little rabbit that got hung today, that was the baker. And butler's back to the job. And the butler said, listen, he said, man, when I get out, he said, I'm going to tell the Pharaoh that you helped me, and we're going to get you out of prison. Butler gets out of prison. You know what he does? He forgets about Joseph. Forgot all about him. Not good. So Joseph's probably waiting there like, okay, any day now, yep. 2 years goes by. Nothing. Butler forgot about him. Finally, butler says one day, the king has a dream. None of his, you know, religious people or his magicians can tell him what the dream means. They can't help him. So the butler's probably sitting there and he goes, hey, boo, light bulb. There was a guy that was in prison with me and he interpreted my dream. Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Sorry, man. Tells the Pharaoh, hey, Joseph can help you. They get Joseph out of prison. Joseph tells him what the dream is. And he's right. Again, Joseph's right. God gave him the answers. Joseph gave the answer from the Lord to the Pharaoh, to the king. Awesome. So now Joseph is out of prison, and the Pharaoh, the king, actually puts him, man, second in command in all of Egypt. So he went from the pit, actually, even before that, probably he was a shepherd, so the pasture, to the pit, to being a prisoner, to the palace, working for Potiphar, to the prison again, and now back to the palace. He's in charge now. He's on top of the world. He's doing great now. Awesome. So that's most of the story. Now here's what happened. The dream that Pharaoh had was saying that the land was going to have 7 years of good, have some time of good where there'll be a lot of food. Look up here. Listen. A lot of good food. And he said, but then it's going to have 7 years of famine, which means there's no food at all. So what they had to do was they had to save in that good 7 years, get as much food and store it so that for the other 7 years they'd have it. So that's what happened. And they put Joseph in charge of that. So Joseph is doing great, doing awesome. He trusted God. God honored him. He's doing great. Well, Joseph's brothers and his father, all these years later, they're suffering from this famine, the 7 years of no food. Do you know where they had to go to get food? Anyone want to take a guess? They had to go to Egypt. So they go to Egypt. Now, think about it. As far as they know, their brother's probably dead. Probably a slave, probably dead. They had told their father that Joseph was dead. They actually took Joseph's coat back when they threw him in the pit. They took his coat. They killed a goat, got all the blood on it, and brought it to the father and said, a wild animal must have got him. He's dead. So Joseph's father thinks that he's dead. And Joseph's brothers probably think he's either a slave or probably dead too, because his slaves didn't get treated very well in the Bible times. So they come, and Joseph recognizes them. Crazy. And he recognized them, and then he says, you know what? Now, Grant, they don't know this, that the second in command is Joseph. They came before Joseph and asked for food. Joseph says, you know what? I'm gonna see how far we can go with this. He has his brothers all come over to the palace for dinner, okay? And just to see, and they still don't see it. So all these crazy things are happening, and we get to chapter 45, and this is the big moment. Big moment. Joseph is so consumed with just emotion and just like, I can't believe that this is happening. And this is where we start right here in verse 1. Genesis 45, 1. I want you to listen. If you're not there, listen. Okay? Remember, think about it. Joseph's there. His brothers said they do not know it's him. Okay? But Joseph knows it's them. 45, 1 says this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Joseph gets so consumed with emotion, he says, finally, he just cries out and says, everybody out! Get out! Except for, obviously, his brothers, because he wanted to talk to them face to face. Look at verse 2. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. He was probably pretty loud. And look at verse 3. This is the big moment. The big moment. Okay? Verse 3. Picture this, okay? You think your brother's dead. Okay, you're there for food. All these brothers are there for food. They're standing before this guy who's got a lot of authority. A lot of authority. Joseph had the authority to get his brothers killed. He could have said, you know what? They threw me in a pit. They sold me a slave. Man, hey, everybody, guards, get these three guys. Kill them right now. He could have done that if he wanted to. And really, he probably could have thought it was justifiable in his mind. But this is what he says to him, verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He says, his dad's still alive. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Could you just imagine how these brothers probably feeling like, oh, almost like freaked out at first, but then they probably felt, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. Look where the authority has. And it was just an amazing moment in the Bible, an amazing story. Different names and different stories, if we saw that in a movie, we'd be like, man, that was a really cool movie. What a cool story that is. But this really happened. Really, really, really happened. Now, moving on to a couple more verses, Joseph tells him, you know, hey, I'm your brother. And they're just like, wow, this is crazy. Joseph says, listen, I want to help you. He said, I want to help my dad. And he starts to get all this food for him and all these things. He goes, listen, I want you to go back home, tell dad I'm alive. He said, and then I want you to move a little bit closer to Egypt where there's a lot more food and I want to help you. So this is just very happy ending. It's great. But look what Joseph says to his brothers, okay? After he gives them all this food, he gives them all these things, and this is where the message is. I give all that backstory just so I can get to this one point, and we're going to get right into the message now. All the way up to verse 24, Genesis 45, 24, okay? He tells his brothers, hey, I'm Joseph. They know. Everybody knows. Everybody's happy. He gives them all this food to send home and tells them, hey, I want you to move back. And he says, you need to go back. And it was a pretty good journey. He says, I want you to go back, tell dad I'm alive, and then come back. Come back closer so I can help you. And this is what he says in verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. So go on your journey, and they left. And he said unto them, and this is where I want you to listen, 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 listen. He said unto his brethren. They're getting ready to leave. They're getting ready to take this journey back to dad, give him the good news. And he says, see that you fall not out by the way. He says, see that you fall not out by the way. He said, listen, stay on track. That's the message title tonight, is stay on track. Stay on track. He said, see that you fall not out by the way. He said, man, get to where you're going. You have a journey. You have a destination. Get there. Tell my dad. He said, but don't let anything get in your way. Don't let anything get in your way. Staying on track is this, not letting anything or anyone distract you from your goal. That's what staying on track is. Not letting anything or anybody or any situation get you away from your goal, distract you from your goal. I want to apply it in your life today. What Joseph told his brother, he said, listen, stay on track. Man, get where you're going. Don't let anything distract you. Get where you're going. I want to apply it to your life today in this way. I'm staying on track for the Lord. Staying on track for God. Some of you have made some big decisions in this youth group. Teen revival, teens back, here at church, in your own personal life, whatever. You've made some big, big, big decisions. Some of you just got saved. Man, you're going to be making some big decisions for God. I want you to stay on track. I want you to stay focused. Just like Joseph told his brothers, hey, stay on track. See that, what does he say? He says, see that ye fall not out by the way. Stay on track. And I want you, teenager, to stay on track for the Lord. And I have some reasons why I want you to. And I want you, if you have a pen or paper, go ahead and write this stuff down. It's fine. But if not, I want you to listen well, and we'll be done shortly. You need to stay on track, number one, because you have a job to do. Stay on track because you have a job to do. Joseph told his brothers, he said, see that you fall not out by the way. Stay on track, guys. You've got a job to do. You've got to get home and tell my dad that I'm alive. He thinks I'm dead. You told him I was dead. Listen, tell my dad that I'm alive, and I want you to come back here. They had a job to do. That's why he wanted them to stay on track. He said, listen, You've got a job to do. Stay on track. And every single one of you in this room, every young man, every young lady, even our adults, we have a job that God wants us specifically to do. God has a job for you to do. God has a job for you to do. He's got a job for you to do. He's got a job for you and you and every one of you. He's got a job for you. He's got something that only you can do. Only you can accomplish it. A specific plan. Something special. He's got a job for you. And if you don't stay on track, you're going to miss it. You will miss it completely. For me, the job that God had for me was to be a youth pastor, to be the youth pastor at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Not just a youth pastor, but to be a youth pastor here in Jackson, Michigan at Loomis Park Baptist Church for this youth group. That was what God's job for me was. Now, there were times when it would have been easy to get off track, to get focused on other things. But listen, I did my best, and with God's help, with my wife's help, to stay on track, to stay right so that I could do the job that God had for me. For you, it may be someone different. Hey, maybe it might be a youth pastor. Some of you say, man, I feel called to be a youth pastor. Listen, if that's the job that God has for you, then do it. Let nothing distract you from that goal. The devil knows what to use to get your mind and your heart away from the job that God has for you. He's not an idiot. Stay on track. Maybe it's to be a missionary. Maybe to be a teacher. Hey, maybe to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever it may be. But God has a job for you. And if you don't stay on track, you're going to miss it. You'll miss it. Stay on track. Listen, if you don't stay on track, if you don't stay focused, if you allow things to distract you from your goal for the Lord, listen, your relationship with God's going to fade away. It's going to fade away. Maybe you're not even on track right now. And you know it because you don't have a relationship with God. You don't read the Bible. You don't pray. You don't feel close to God at all. If you don't feel close to God, it's because you don't have a relationship with Him. It's you've allowed it to fade. You haven't stayed on track. You will miss the job God has for you if you don't stay on track. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, God wants to start something in you, and He wants to finish it in you. You know what? I may be on track right now doing what God wants, but if I get off track as a youth pastor, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fall. I'm going to get away from God's will for my life. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up and disqualify myself, and I'm going to miss what God has for me. I need to stay on track for your sake. And you need to stay on track because God's got a job for you. He's got a job for you. Hey, you say, well, Pastor, what could get you off track? Probably the same thing that could get you off track. Worldly pleasures. I could say, man, I could get a really good job making a lot of money. Or, man, I'm not really making a lot here. I need to go somewhere else. Or, you know, I want this or that or anything. Anything could get me. Friends, I could let my friends get me off track. I could let even family can get you off track. But you've got to stay on track for God. Stay on track for God. Listen, whatever it is in your life that you know that you struggle with, whether it's music or friends or even family, whatever it may be, man, stay on track. Ask God for help. Ask Him for strength because you have a job to do, a specific job from God Himself, and you'll miss it if you don't stay on track. Number one, stay on track because you have a job to do. Okay, I'm going to show you Genesis 45, verse 9. Joseph said to his brothers, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. In verse 13 it says, and he shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and he shall haste and bring down my father. He gave them the job to do. And he said, listen, don't let anything get you out of it. Stay on track. See that you fall not by the way. Stay on track. And you have a job to do as well. Don't get off track. Number one, you have a job to do. Number two, why do we need to stay on track? Because not only do you have a job to do, but you have a journey to take. You have a journey to take. Look at verse 24 and 25. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. They had a journey. And he said unto them, see that you fall not by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. Okay, they had a journey. Their journey was to Canaan to go see their father, to go back home. That was their journey. If they had got off track, they might have gotten lost. They would not have been on the journey they needed to be on. And in your life, as a Christian teenager, you need to stay on track because you have a journey to take. You have a journey to take. Listen, That journey that God has for you will take you to the job that God has for you, to the will that he has for you. It's a journey. It's not overnight. I mean, you say, God will be a youth pastor, so tomorrow I'm going to go to my public school and I'm going to be the youth pastor. It doesn't work like that. You know that. There's a journey. There's time. Say, I want to be a, God will be a missionary in Africa. I better start saving for my plane ticket so I can get there in the summer. It's not going to, no, there's a journey. It's a journey. Hey, it may be a long journey. It may take a while. You know, I wasn't a youth pastor right when I felt called. I was 15 years old, but even as an adult, I wasn't a full-time youth pastor until I was 23 years old. Listen, God's got a journey to take. And you know what? The journey may not only be long, it may be difficult. It may be hard. Some of the journey that you're on right now in your life, the things that have happened in your life that are out of your control, have been very, very difficult. It's a journey. Hey, I bet you this journey that these brothers took, Joseph's brother, I bet you it wasn't just this nice paved road right back to home and the sign says, here's, you know, Jacob's home. No, it probably was over some rough terrain, maybe through some mountains, maybe through some bad weather. A rough journey. God's got a journey for you to take. And if you don't stay on track, you're going to get lost. You're going to get out of his will. You'll never know what the job is that God has for you. It may be long. It may be a difficult journey, but it is a journey that is worth taking. That you'll get to the end of that journey and you realize, man, I'm so glad I followed God's will for my life. I'm so glad that I stayed on track for God. You have a journey to take. Listen, Joseph, think of Joseph's journey. Started off in the pasture taking care of sheep for his dad, and then into the pit, then into being a prisoner as a slave, and then to the palace working for Potiphar, then lied about and into prison, and then back out. Listen, his journey was not a very fun one at the beginning, was it? Not at all. No, he had a pretty rough journey, actually. But through it all, he stayed on track. He stayed on track. He did right. He lived holy. He honored God. He had faith in God. He trusted God even in the midst of his problems. And some of you have had a difficult time trusting God in your problems. Yes, your parents have gotten divorced. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you're struggling in school. Maybe you don't have a lot of friends. I don't know what your issues are. Maybe you have a hard time with yourself. You just don't like yourself at all. I don't know what your problems or difficulties are or how difficult your journey may be. But if you can honor God and trust him and have faith in him, listen, you're going to get to the end of your journey and realize it was worth the trip. We drive home to Massachusetts once a year, and I hate it. It's a 12-hour drive. Got kids crying, pooping their pants, peeing, having to pull over. We get hungry. Got to stop and get gas. Get stuck in traffic. Get stuck in snow. It's horrible, and I hate it. But you know what? When I get home, when I get back to my home from Massachusetts, my parents, I say, man, it was worth the trip. It was worth the trip. And it'll be the same for you if you can stay faithful, trust God through this journey that he has for you. You're going to come out the other side. You're going to reach your destination. Say, man, it was worth it. Hey, I stand here today saying that the journey that I've taken so far in my life has not been that bad, but it hasn't been perfect. There have been difficulties. There have been hard times. There have been times when my wife and I have cried and been discouraged and upset and we're worried and stressed out and trying to trust God even in the dark times. But listen, I stand here tonight saying the journey that I've taken was worth it. It was worth it. There have been more good times than bad times. And God's been good to me. The journey was worth it. There was a reason that Joseph went through all those difficulties. God was trying to work things out for good. If Joseph hadn't got sold into slavery, he wouldn't have been the king of the palace, that the second in command, in charge of all the food. His brothers would have came to him. God worked everything for good. If you're in Genesis 45, go to Genesis 50 real quick. Genesis chapter 50, we're almost done. Genesis 15, 17 through 20. Turn. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 17 says this, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. His brother said, man, we're sorry. 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. His brothers felt really, really bad and said, listen, man, we be your servants. We don't deserve anything. Verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, listen to this. Think about Joseph's life, all that he went through, all the terrible things he went through. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said, listen, yes. Yeah. He said, listen, I'm in God's will. This is where God wants me. I'm in the place of God. He said, listen, I know that you guys were trying to hurt me. You meant it evil for me. He said, but God meant it for good. God knew we were going to do that. He said, and God used it for good. And God can use each and every problem and situation that you face for good. But only if you stay on track and take that journey that you need to take, and you'll get to the job that God has for you. Listen, take your journey willingly. Take it willingly. Say, God, this pathway may not be the best, it may be difficult, but I'm willing to do it because I know you know what's best for me. Let nothing get you off track. Stay on track. You have a journey to take. Lastly is this. Okay, number one, you have a job to do. Two, you have a journey to take. Number three, why do you need to stay on track? Number three, because you have a joyous reunion awaiting. You have a joyous reunion awaiting. Genesis 45. I'm going to read these quickly. We got to be done. Genesis 45, 28. And Israel said, it is, and this is when his brothers got back and told their dad, hey, Joseph's alive. He said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And look at chapter 46 and verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. He hadn't seen his father in years. His father thought he was dead. And so he found him and he hugged him and he fell on him and cried for a while. In verse 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Hey, Joseph's dad wasn't that young. He was getting ready to die, but God allowed him to stay alive to see his son. He said, listen, I can die happy now because I finally know my son's alive and I saw him. What a joyous reunion that must have been when they finally saw each other. Man, what a reunion that must have been. A happy, joyous, man, this is the best day of my life. They saw each other for the first time in so many years. And listen, as teenagers, as Christian teenagers, you're going to face God one day. You are going to face God one day, whether you like it or not. Whether it's soon or later, whatever, you're going to stand before God. Whether you're saved or not, you'll stand before God. You're going to face, and the Bible says in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. You will stand before God, just like you're sitting here today in front of me. It's going to be the same with God one day. And listen, it can be a joyous reunion. You can get to heaven one day, and God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You've done a great job. You've stayed on track. You've done my will. But listen, it's up to you if he's going to say that. It's up to you to stay on track and make right decisions so that when you do face God, it will be a joyous reunion. And you won't feel ashamed for not doing what God wants you to do. Let me ask you this question. Is a few moments of fun or love or even anger, a few moments of just doing what you want to do, worth your joyous reunion? Is it worth it for you to do the things that you want to do and have that fun and not obey God's word and do things with your boyfriend, girlfriend that you shouldn't do, or maybe get ticked off and just speak your mind because that's what I want to say? Is it worth it to not have a joyous reunion with God one day? To get to heaven and say, man, I wish I had made different decisions. I wish I had followed God's will. I wish I had stayed on track. You can have a joyous reunion. Joseph told his brothers, he said, see that you've fallen out by the way. He said, listen, stay on track. Whether or not you want to, you're going to stand before God one day. And you think about this. What is he going to say to you? What will God say to you? If you were in heaven right now, if you died tonight and you stood before God, what would he say to you? Would he be able to say, well done, the good and faithful servant. You've stayed on track. You've done my will. Would you have to just hang your head in shame knowing that you did not stay on track, that you did not do what God wanted you to do, that you didn't obey him, that you didn't follow his word? Teenager, decide tonight to stay on track. Decide tonight that you will let nothing or no one or nothing to distract you, to get you out of the way from doing right, from living for God, from obeying your parents and praying and reading your Bible, being faithful to God's house, treating people right, being a witness. Decide tonight, I'm going to let nothing distract me from doing what God wants me to do and what the Bible tells me to do. I am going to stay on track. You've got a job to do. You've got a journey to take. And you have a joyous reunion awaiting one day. Stay on track. Head bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around at all, please. No one looking around. Question for you right now, and you be honest. You be honest. I'm going to say, Pastor Donald, I want to decide tonight to stay on track. Raise your hand. I want to stay on track. Raise your hand so I can see it. I want to decide. I'm maybe not on track like I should be, and I'm deciding tonight I want to stay on track. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. If that's you tonight, teenager, what I want you to do right now, I want you to get up from where you're sitting right now. I want you to come down this altar and say, God, I want to stay on track. I want to make sure that I let nothing distract me from the will of God. Nothing distract me from the will of God. Stay on track.